kicking off this hour. The great Joe Queeley is in studio. Of course, the author and local historian from Fionnuala is launching his new book in Ennis Diamond tomorrow. The North Clare launch of Tragedies of Clare is going to take place at the Courthouse Gallery from 8 p.m. And joining Joe in studio is Tom Scales, who's has a link to Joe's book because he's a close relative of two of the people who feature in the book. And Tom's from Ennis Diamond. And gents, a very good morning to you both.
Morning.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for coming in, Joe. And thank you for bringing a copy of the book, Tragedies of Clare. Give us a bit of background to this one, Joe. What is the synopsis and why did you decide to write about this?
Well, I suppose first I'll now say good morning to Clare, good morning to Ireland and good morning to the whole world.
See, this is why people wanted you to be president, even the way you address good morning to Ireland and the world. It's like you're speaking on the radio in the 1930s.
I suppose...
Hello with the world.
I would say Tragedies of Clare, you know, when you open up the first page of Tragedies of Clare, what you're opening up is you have your hand on the latch of a thatched house on the hillside, of a thatched house down by the sea or in between. And when you walk into the house, you get the smell of the smoke, you get the smell of the paraffin oil and the turf. And, you know, when you walk down the holy water fountain, the rosary beads is at your left, hung up in a peg, and the settle bed and the bucket of spring water and the enamel white mug, and you walk to the fireplace and the cat is in the hob sleeping and the dog is down by the fire and the old person is sitting down in the sogan chair with solace and comfort looking into the fire. And I think in Tragedies of Clare, when you open up the first page, that's what you smell. You smell, and they tell you their stories. They tell you their stories when they get somebody to listen to their stories. And then in Tragedies of Clare, there's 100,000 words. And I suppose it's like 100,000 jigsaw puzzles. You put every little word together. You fold it into 242 pages and you put a cover on it. And that's Tragedies of Clare. Them are the stories. Them are the stories. You have to be like a weaver. And the lovely thing about the person sitting by the fireplace, you know, telling the stories when they get someone to listen to them. And these stories are in Tragedies of Clare are very, very old and they're very, very beautiful. But it has been such a great privilege for me to sit by their firesides. So when you open up that first page, I want you to see that person telling the story, to smell the paraffin oil and to smell the turf and smell the smoke from where it came from. Them are the stories.
Joe, that is quite a picture you've painted there. Did you ever think of going into writing screenplays? That's incredible stuff.
I think I have been into enough. And the other thing is Tom Scales is with us here. And Tom is the link to the past. But the strong stories that has come through from our freedom fighters, the three stories that are in the book, one is the Belly Gastel outrage. And I suppose that's kind of the heart and soul in the book because, you know, there were 7 not clear men to be hung by an informer because the police had planted an informer amongst the Moonlighters of Knocklear, the freedom fighters, the old Fenians of Knocklear and Knockkerry and every place else. And there were 7 of those people to be hung, you know. And, you know, Owen Shanahan did a piece for me in the back. He did a review on the book, you know, and Owen's uncle, Willie Shanahan, you know, was killed by the Black and Tans because, and himself and Michael, he was from Michael McNamara from Mount Rivers in Dunbeg. And Owens, Willie Shanahan was from Duke Moore in Dunbeg. And those people were killed because pest people informed them. The Scariff Martyrs, the 4 Scariff Martyrs, Young Gildea, Egan, Alfie Rogers, and McMahon, they were killed because an informer. And the curse of our Andy Donoghue, one time he was the commandant of the old battalion of the Kilfenora area. He said, if we could get rid of the landlords, the peelers, and the informers, we'd have a good country. So that's the story I have woven, the 3 stories. The other one is in Ballinrowan, and I think what the intrigue there was that this atrocity happened inside in the church during the consecration of the Mass. And you get a great, sometimes you get a great... You get a great story in the people telling the story, and you get a great story in the people not telling the story. I remember Desi Mulcair. Desi is a living legend. Desi is the James Morrison, the Michael Coleman of this world. Whatever he's playing, singing, go to hear him. But Desi and myself were going up. Desi was giving me a tour of Drumandora. I had heard of Sam Dyle's pub up in Drumandora, up at Killinane, Roger Carey's, Kevin Kennedy's, Pat Hayes's country. You know, great people, hurlers, sportsmen. And I was passing up through Ballinrobin. And I said to Desi, Desi, was there an outrage here one time? And Desi said, that house there now, he said, is haunted. He didn't want to tell me about Ballinrobin. And that's lovely as well. He felt a loyalty to still the place, even though it was 100 and whatever years. And he taught me one of the most beautiful stories about the ghost of Ballinrobin, and where he sits down in the May evenings, listening to the cuckoo, playing the concert flute and the whistle inside in the purple heather and the bog cotton of Ballinrobin. And that's all he taught me about Ballinrobin. And you know, there's as much, and I put those in the book as well, because you have to weave them in with the story.
So the book is broken into three sections, as you mentioned, the Ballygastel outrage, the outrage in Ballinrobin in 1916, and the Ballygastel one in 1887, and then the murder of Don Dulochty and execution of Francie Hynes in 1882. Tom, just to bring you in at this point, can you give us a bit more background on your connection to one of these stories?
Peter Murphy, who was one of the people involved that night, he would have been my great-grandfather. Michael Murphy, he was involved as well. He would have been my uncle. I'm sorry, my great-granduncle. And there was a man there by the name of Tony Curtis. If I can, I'm just going to go off a little bit. Tony Curtis, I heard about Ballygastel growing up. My people would have mentioned it. Didn't give any great big detail on it, but it always had my interest. I'm delighted I met Joe. He was a great help to me, because I was an interest, but I didn't know where to go. But I remember as a young fella, my father and myself, my early teens, my father and myself were cleaning graves around November, relations above the old graveyard in Innisdiamond, and we met Tony Curtis, who would have been a son of Marty Curtis, was mentioned in the book, who was actually involved that night. And I remember him telling us that they would have given the bite, any of them, to squeal on the people who actually killed that RIC man. They never squealed. They never opened up in it. And it went to the grave with all those people. So no one knows who actually killed that man.
I mean, these are, Joe, difficult and emotional episodes from Clare's past. How did you approach these stories? I suppose you have to approach them with a certain level of sensitivity, especially when there are families like Tom's that are still connected to them.
I think the great theme is to remember our freedom fighters. It's kind of to reignite the story without, you know, lighting the flame. You know, because those people deserve, those freedom fighters of North Clare, we had nothing else that time to fight back. We had nothing else to fight back against the British Empire, against the landlordism of that time. Our people were good people. They were poor people. And you know, the people in the place, and you know, the people that opened up their hearts to me, the people that opened up their homes to me, thank God, now Martin Sexton's house, Thomas Sexton's house, where the Ballygastel outrage took place, that has changed hands lately. And the new owner, Paul Carroll, could be a Limerick man, but living in Dublin, he has a business in Dublin. And that man was so receptive. He wanted to be so much part of that history, of our history, of all our history of the places. And when you pass those places, you know, that you remember those people. It's not to ignite the flame, it's to tell the story. And that's where you have to be just so careful in telling the story, to bring the story to the people and to bring the place to the people, to bring the voice of those people that I spoke about there sitting down in front of the open fire. And you know, to bring that voice to the people and to bring that story to the people and to weave. It's like the weaver weaving the basket. Sometimes he leaves out his hand, he doesn't look, and he'll catch a bit of willow. And he won't take that one. He'll take the next one, and maybe the next time he'll take that one. So that's the weaving of the story. And to be honest about it, I would say that the linchpin of the book is getting a photograph of the informer from, they called him the Kerry Boy, He was from a place called Scartaglen in South Kerry. And to get the photograph of that and to reproduce it, that, I would say, is the whole, is the linchpin of the real story. The other two were kind of fillers.
And how much, just on the photo, you know, does that give us a sense of how much detective work you had to do? How much research and delving and talking to people was involved in this to chase down all the information?
I honestly got love it. I remember back with Pat O'Brien and Anthony, and I said, there's great fun in it. You know, and like Anthony, of course, came in, and Joe, how will there be fun in stuff like that? You know, the stories aren't fun. But like doing it, and what you, they, you know, the lovely little nuggets of gold people come out with when unbeknown to themselves. Marcella McNamara, God be kind to her, she's resting now, you know, and she has passed on. And she said, Joe, the love for love ran deep, but in rural Ireland, love for the land ran deeper. Wasn't that such a beautiful phrase? Pat Crawford back in Dunaha, Pat's a lovely man, and he said to me, that woman, he said, she was crepeking herself. And Michael Slattery, who sent us very much on the story, and he said she was Gublock, but was telling the same story, but two different beautiful, like little nuggets of gold that come out to you. And, you know, that, like Desmond Kerr telling the stories about the ghosts, he said, oh, Lord God Almighty, tonight, you know, the way he put it, everything in the house was broken, he says, at 12 o'clock. The delf, the chairs, everything, he says. The young lad, he says, got a wakeness, he said, inside in the bed. Should, merciful God, where would you get that? Isn't that the most beautiful? And you have to, I think, temper the story with that. You have to temper the story and stand up to it as well. You have to stand up to it as well where you see people, you know, that did things like the seven moonlighters. They were to be hung.
Yeah.
Those people were to be hung. Like, you know, the twisting and the turning in the research, that why they weren't hung, or were they hung? Now you'll have to buy the book for that.
And we will let people know where that is. Tom, you mentioned earlier on that you were glad you met Joe, because this is clearly a part of your family history that you were keen to find out more about, but just hadn't had the opportunity to do so. Was this like having the curtains pulled back on a really important chapter in your family history? Like it was like a missing scene that has been coloured in or highlighted?
Yes. Yes, it was, very much so. I had a great day with Joe. We done a few visits. We done the, it's mentioned in the book about the quarry, where they would have met maybe 3 days beforehand, and we found that the two of us there by the lake, Lekeen Lake. Went up to the actual premises where all the stuff took place. Passed that house, I say, if I passed it once, I might have passed it 100 times.
Without even knowing.
Didn't even know what it was or where it was. Mm. Gone maybe from Kilfenora to Lismaverna. I know Ballygastle, I know the area, but I hadn't a clue until Joe took me up to the house that day.
Well,
I'd like to thank Joe for that.
Well, fair play to Joe, and I think the book will enlighten a lot of people who read it on these particular episodes. Joe, there was a launch in Ennis, the North Clare launch in Ennis Diamond tomorrow. Tell us a little bit more about the launch in the Courthouse Gallery tomorrow from 8. And also, where can people pick up this fantastic book that I'm waving
now,
with my left
the
hand?
Book is available in the Innes Bookshop, Scalella, Charlie Burns and Galway, Banner Books in Innes Diamond, and Banner Books in Kilrush as well. And you can get it on www.tragediesofclare.ie. I'm not too great in the www. stuff myself.
Don't worry, you had the correct amount in there, three.
Anyway, that's now we have our launch tomorrow night in Innes Diamond, in the Innes Courthouse Gallery, Mary Howard. And Mary gave me a lot of stuff. And I would say, to be honest about it, she could have been one of the very first people that we spoke about, that she gave me all her father's papers. You know, that Michael Howard, her father from Benalachin, you know, that had, and Mary gave me all his papers, and I got great stuff, and I just quote one little bit, you know, the prosecution counsel, all the people from Kilfenora came out, the priest came out, and he swore on the 8th commandment of God for these people, how they were upright citizens, they were good people, and they couldn't have done what they did, you know, the people that were, you know. And the prosecution counsellor hit back and he says, it seems to be okay, he says, that the 8th commandment of God, that you shall not swear false witness against your neighbour. But he said, it seems to be okay to swear false witness for your neighbour. So that's lovely. That's lovely. So it's okay. tomorrow night, 8 o'clock in the Innes Courthouse Gallery. Look at, come out and buy a book. And if you haven't the price of a book, come out and I'll give you a book anyway, whatever the blade. Don't be, look at it. It's about if you're making a few bob. Once that I cover my expenses, you know, I kind of give it to the lifeboats after that. Very little now. And I just like to say, Ellen, before you close down, tomorrow night, I want our Lord and his mother in the Innes Courthouse tomorrow night. Just come out for the hour. I have the great Paddy Shannon. Paddy, there's very, very few apart from in the Harden can sing in a Simon and the Aina. So Paddy will be out playing music tomorrow night. And I'd like just to reach out to John Joe Toohey. John Joe's a great Ballinrowan man. And to Mary Cahir, who sang 14 verses of Lord Gregory at my launch across here. Paddy Hines, Kitty Laden from Tulla. Those great people. And Owen O'Neill. Owen came out as well, and Sean Kane.
Brilliant. Well, look, it sounds like the Ennis one was a great launch, and I'm sure the Ennis Diamond one will be no different tomorrow. My thanks to Joe Queeley and Tom Scales. Gents, thank you very
much.
Thanks
very much, Ellen.
Wish you success with the book. Tragedies of Clare. Joe, let you know about all the bookshops where you can get it, and make sure you get along to the launch tomorrow evening as well.